Hi there, I'm Greg from Kapow. Visit us at kapow.com to check out our unique collection of everyday reusable products designed to help you do more with less. C-U-P-P-O-W.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica.
I'm Erica.
I'm Claire.
You are listening to a podcast that is based on a newsletter that we send out every week called 10 Things, where we round up our favorite discoveries, everything from beauty to food to music to Drake.
Yeah.
To lots of Drake. There's been lots of Drake.
Don't spoil it. Yeah. Don't spoil our all Drake episode.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sponsored by Hot 97.
Yeah. Oh, we should be so lucky. And the newsletter is an outgrowth of our website called Of A Kind. You can go to
best website on the internet.
Where we sell the pieces and tell the stories of emerging fashion and home designers. There is some good stuff happening. You should get over there. You should sign up for the newsletter. You should just know what's up.
Yes.
What is up right now?
Oh my God. What's up is healthy snack foods, which I feel like a large part of my life has been leading up to this moment.
Yeah, I think we've really been building.
I would consider myself and Erica snack experts.
Yeah, I would. You know what? I think like I'm maybe mayor and you're like president of the universe of snacks.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like very you're a far higher ranking official.
Oh, wow, thank you. I mean, listen, I accept.
You have a lot of practice.
I accept.
You have a lot of experience.
It is born out of a deficiency, which is the need to eat constantly,
like a baby.
Like a baby or a bodybuilder. I prefer bodybuilder, depends on the day.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I know that hanger is a word now that that you know everybody uses. Mm-hmm. And that I see all over the place, but Claire's husband Chris and I have been using this term to discuss.
You guys were early adopters.
Yeah, we were way early to this, like three years ago. Yeah. We were definitely talking about hanger.
Hangry.
I remember a specific incident when we were at South by Southwest in Austin.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, because you were probably like
I was blinded by hunger.
Yeah, there's no way you remember this, where we were trying to go to a barbecue restaurant and the line was really long.
Oh my God.
And we had to have a conversation where it was like, is this gonna be okay? And you're like, I don't know.
I get totally irrational. I get emotional, and I know that I have like kin out there. When you meet other people who are like this, they get it. You go from 0 to 100 real quick, to quote Drake.
Yeah. To get back to that.
Yeah. It's like you're fine, you're not hungry, and then you are hungry and you cannot think and you cannot speak and it is awful. And so I walk around with a constant fear of being hungry. And you would think that would mean I would constantly have granola bars in my purse, but I don't.
You have almonds in most of your pockets.
Yeah.
Scattered
around my apartment. My husband will find like what he calls loose almonds, but he'll just take a picture and text
orphans.
Message it to
orphans.
Me.
Yes. Yeah.
Loose almonds scattered around the apartment. But yeah, I get really mean too. I get very, very nasty. So it's a great concern of my friends and family. And it is for that reason that I am really into snacks, and we are going to talk about healthy snacks today.
Healthy snacks. Okay, so I think we should talk with the one that I find to be the most disturbing, that is that you've recently adopted, is the peanut butter.
Oh, the peanut butter packets.
Yeah, she squeezes them straight into her mouth.
It's like Go-Gurt.
Or like what people do with those protein things when they're running
goo.
A marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goo. Yeah. Yeah.
They're Justin's, which is really good peanut butter. I grew up in a natural peanut butter household, so
yeah, totally.
Crazy Richards to be exact. So freaking gross. There's always like inches of oil on top that you had to figure out how to get it stir in, which was impossible. Justin's peanut butter is natural peanut butter. It doesn't have any sweeteners or anything, but it actually tastes good and is not does not have the oil separated, and they make these packets that, like Erica said, they're like goo, or I prefer Go-Gurt.
And you can just sit there and suck them right out of the container if you'd like.
I just like a shot. I just, I'm big into protein. That is the thing that for me...
Super big into it.
Erica gets so annoyed. I'm like,
I don't think I had enough protein today. Okay.
I did once read that that's a thing that like that people who suffer from migraines, it's often a lack of protein.
I would say that a lot of your diagnoses come from, I did once read. There's a thing.
I also suffer from migraines. Yeah. That's another topic. So yeah, totally endorse this. You can fit them in your purse really easily. They come in different flavors too. You can get maple almond butter. Erica recently read that Kendall Jenner and I share this habit.
Yeah. Just one of many things that Claire and Kendall have
so
in
I
common.
Feel like if
fake
she,
lashes and yeah. and peanut butter packets.
So if she likes it and I like it, I feel like there's probably a broad spectrum of people in between her and I that also could be into it.
I had a recent natural peanut butter discovery. It's called Cozy Cream, spelled K-O-E-Z-E. I'm pronouncing it cozy. I don't know. Maybe it's pronounced...
Coez.
Yeah.
Coez.
But it has been around since 1925.
Wow.
And it doesn't separate either.
Great.
It's really thick, but it's really delicious. It doesn't have any additives in it. And apparently their whole thing is that they remove the skins from the peanuts, which is something that affects the flavor in a huge way.
I wonder if that's Justin's secret too, because on the Justin's peanut butter, it's like, we have a super secret method of doing this and we'd never tell you. I bet you,
you
it's
think
that.
It's skins.
Yeah.
You think it's skins. Yeah.
Justin,
I think that's
call
fair.
Us. Tell us. Did we discover your secret?
Related to peanut butter, tahini.
So good. Sesame. It's the sesame seed version of peanut
butter. Yeah, it's the more exotic relative of peanut butter.
It is so delicious.
So we have the two means by which we have consumed tahini as a snack most recently. There's this peanut butter or this tahini feta dip that I have made for apples that is delicious. And I know tahini feta sounds nasty.
It does sound so weird.
But it is,
I can see how it works.
It's tahini and feta and lemon, and you dip an apple in it and it's awesome. I think you put some chili flakes in there too. It's from the Hemsley and Hemsley cookbook. And those girls are sort of, or those women are sort of like rock stars in their own right. And you should be following them.
Proud of you for calling them women.
Thank you.
We also are obsessed with this tahini cookie. So we were in Philadelphia a couple of years ago for a conference, and we went to this place, Agno Grill, that it's a healthy fast food lunch joint, really good. Best thing they have going, though, for sure, are these tahini cookies that are made. It's like a peanut butter cookie, but instead of peanut butter, it's made with tahini, and
it's just like tahini and agave
and not too sweet.
Yeah, and salt. That's it.
And you found a pretty good recipe on the internet for it and made them for me once, and that was a great hanger solvent.
Yes, I will. We will post that recipe in our recap as well.
I am super into chickpea chips of sorts. So falafel chips are gaining a lot of popularity these days. I think. I think it's called Mamoun's falafel chips, or maybe not. I could be misremembering.
I think that's right.
Yeah, they have a spicy version and a non-spicy version. It is so good. They're so good on their own. Also, obviously, so good with hummus, but also really good with used as a hearty dip cracker for like tuna fish salad or something like that. So good. So much healthier than regular potato chips. And then Myra Coleman, who makes so many good Indian cooking products, has these chickpea chips that I cannot believe are not more well stocked.
It's
insane. They are the most delicious thing. They're like papadum. They must have lentils in them too.
I think they do.
They taste like papadum, but not so spicy. And they're so addictive and light and crisp and make me feel good.
Another thing that is great for dipping into tuna salad, as Claire mentioned, one of these uses that is available pretty much everywhere, are those Kame rice cracker situations.
If you do not immediately know what we're talking about, the minute you Google Kame rice cracker, you'll be like, oh, those
things. Have the red and red and black packaging. I like the soy ones.
Yeah, the soy ones are really good.
They're also really great with, and I know we've talked about canned fish on this show before, and maybe too much. I don't know. You'll let us know. With a little bit of mustard and sardine on them. They're really delicious. And the perfect sort of...
That is such a good snack.
Yeah, and it's also good. You know what? If you come home late and you need to make dinner and need to find something to eat that takes actually 4 minutes, that's the thing.
It's based on the prune thing, right?
Yes, like
prune,
which is on appetizer.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
other something else that I'm really recently obsessed with, this company Nourish Snacks that came out of nowhere and now I see them everywhere, and thank God for that. They have an insane variety of snack foods that come in packets that are sized perfectly for your purse. I have two favorites. There's Mr. Popular. This is a very punny company.
Yeah,
it's they call them half popped popcorn kernels.
Yeah.
Half popped.
And they're
popcorn.
These like oversized popcorn kernels, so they don't get stuck in your teeth in the same way that just eating the regular kernels does.
But what it made me realize is I was like, oh, this is basically what corn nuts are.
Yeah.
I think.
They taste fancy good for you corn
nuts. They taste like fancy good for you corn nuts. They're delicious. And as Erica said, we have to just dedicate an entire episode probably to popcorn, so I can't go too far down that road, but get into these. They're great. The other thing that Nourish Snacks makes are mind your peas and BBQs. They are peanuts and chickpeas
yep.
in a barbecue seasoning, and they're
really great. Delicious. They're and really they saved delicious. Me a couple of weeks ago when I went to a theater thing after work and was just like, oh my God, I like intermission. What are you supposed to do? Go get it? Like wait in line for 20 minutes for something you don't really want anyway. So I had these and it was awesome.
Well, you know why? Protein, chickpeas, peanuts.
They were also just really good. But sure. But yeah, cool.
They do have a great savory barbecue flavor to them that we're super into.
Something else we used to snack on all the time at the office until we burned ourselves out real hard was Quinoa Crunch.
Oh, my God.
Which is spelled K-E-E-N-W-A-H. Crunch with a C, oddly.
strange. We might actually be wrong. I might have written that wrong. We'll have to fact check that. Yeah. Who knows? But I do appreciate their phonetic spelling. They're like, they're these like granola bites, but instead of
they're
being
like
granola,
have a Rice Krispie sort of totally. Idea to them.
It's like quinoa and almonds.
A Rice Krispie treat. That's,
And they're really good. And you can put them in yogurt and stuff. They are just remarkably good for being one of those sort of packaged granola-like products. I could probably never eat them again because I ate so many for so long. I think I'm done with that phase of my life, but you should embark on that phase of your life.
Correct.
Listener.
If you're in the mood for something more sweet or more dairy.
Yes.
The White Mustache date yogurt. The White Mustache. I mean, those things are so expensive. It's insane.
I know,
it's and they
like
are.
$12. It's not really, but they're crazily
absolutely
expensive.
Worth it, which is unfortunate.
Save the glass jar and make yourself feel good about it. They come in cute glass jars. And I don't know why more people aren't doing this, but there is a date paste at the bottom. And then it's a very thick, sour, plain yogurt. And you mix it. And it is phenomenal.
Dates are underutilized in general,
I agree with you completely.
Also underutilized, cottage cheese.
Yes.
We've been waiting for the artisanal cottage cheese moment for some time now.
I feel like we made that call like a year, I would say almost exactly a year ago. Like, watch out, yogurt. It's time for cottage cheese to have its moment.
I think it needs to happen.
And we did find like a cream on top, our hand-strained cottage cheese.
At Brentwood Country Mart in LA.
Obviously. I feel like Gwyneth like seated it there because she's probably also on the waiting for this moment.
She's with us.
Cottage cheese is so salty and delicious, and it's a great savory snack. It's also so good with pineapple.
100%.
So good.
Tangy.
So, and honey. Yeah. And portable in the little single serving cups. Yeah. Personally, I'm a very big fan of the Friendship brand.
Yes.
My mom's all about Breakstone. This is a moment where we disagree.
We should give people very quick popcorn rundown, but I do agree that we should dedicate more time to it. So we eat a lot of popcorn at the office. We have done the air popper thing, although really like our old fallback is the paper bag trick.
Mark Bittman wrote about this in the New York Times, and it is so genius. Basically, you don't need to spend all of that money on microwave popcorn. You can make your own. And the greatest part about making your own microwave popcorn is you know what crazy stuff is going into it. And the method that I have come up with that I think is the best, and we have experimented a lot, and so I feel like I'm in a good place to say this.
Yeah.
I go with two brown paper lunch bags layered inside each other, put the kernels in, and then you just enough olive oil to coat the kernels a little bit, shake it around, tie it really tight, and then you pop it in the microwave, and you have to experiment.
And you
with
tie
your,
it just, but you mean like crunch.
Yeah,
ends.
Sorry. Yeah. Roll it really tight.
Okay.
And the problem with this method is you have to experiment a lot to figure out the right timing and the right amount, but then you can season it however you want, and you just buy kernels in bulk, which is so inexpensive. It's a great, great, very healthy snack.
I make popcorn on the stove a lot at home, and that's another good sort of fallback dinner thing if I need something fast. But you just coat the, I use a little sort of Le Creuset, like the 3-quart mm-hmm. guy, I think, and coat the bottom with coconut oil or olive oil, fill it with, you basically want a single layer of kernels mm-hmm. at the bottom. Put the lid on it, shake it, let it start warming up. And then once you hear the popping, shake it a little bit more and wait till the popping slows. That's it. That's the magic. You
it's
don't need
so fast.
Jiffy Pop. You don't need a microwave and none yeah. of this stuff. And in terms of seasonings, we are all about nutritional yeast.
Nutritional yeast. I feel like the first time that I got in trouble because I mentioned it in 10 things and I was like, it tastes like cheesy popcorn. And people were like, this tastes nothing like cheese.
It's like savory. And yeah.
It's the same idea as a cheese dusted popcorn where it's like a
umami.
Yeah. It's an umami flavor. Same sort of texture. I'm into it. You have to get the right sort of nutritional yeast. So don't get the big flakes or it won't coat well.
Yeah. You need
to get the small powdery stuff.
And I also love, there's this recipe for this awesome seasoning from Tasting Table that has cumin in it. It has nutritional yeast in it.
Such a good
it has a little bit of sugar
seasoning.
In it, which also,
totally
yeah,
into that.
That we will post that is one of these things that you should just kind of make like quadruple a recipe and then keep around always because it's good on a lot of things.
I'm
it's
sure.
good mixed into a salad dressing.
Also Old Bay.
Yes.
So good on
yes.
popcorn.
And if you don't want to make your own, our mm-hmm. two go-tos are Pop Karma.
Pop Karma is awesome. I think it might only be in New York, but they have every flavor of popcorn. So
I
delicious.
I can imagine them shipping. I wonder.
I bet. And yeah. when you, if you get them to cater a party or if you get like a party size, they have these genius little cardboard cones that you can put the popcorn in.
100%. Yep. And then Bjorn Corn.
Oh, so good.
Which has nutritional yeast already on it. So you can give that a go without
but
buying
the nutritional
yeast.
But it's like a really delicious version of
yeah.
it. They put
it's like the
magic.
Finest powder of it. It's
and the label
coated.
Definitely calls it.
Can you hear our mouths watering? Do you hear our salivary glands or no?
The label of Bjorn Corn definitely claims that it's sun popped.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Love you, Bjorn Corn, but that's a bit much.
Yeah.
You can use artificial light to pop my popcorn. And
not
be just
not
fine.
Opposed. Should we go to commercial
Let's
and come back
it.
With Megan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Americans throw away 58 billion disposable cups every year. A lot of those cups will still be around long after you're dead. Kind of dark, I know, but I'm Greg from Kapow, and we decided to do something about it. We created the only glass travel mug that's 100% US made. You can check it out alongside our complete line of everyday reusables at kapow.com, CUPPOW.com.
We're back. You're listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, a podcast about all our favorite discoveries and the things that we are most enthusiastic about.
Someone we discovered some time ago is joining us
yes,
in a second.
Megan O'Connell.
She is a writer who has written a lot about personal finance for such sites as The Billfold, which I think is possibly like the greatest personal finance site on the internet. And I've been weirdly, maybe it's weird, I don't know, so excited to talk about personal finance on this show.
I am so psyched about it. And I think we're psyched in different ways because you are really good at getting it, or I don't know how excited you get about it or if you're just disciplined, but like you're good at forcing yourself to think about it. And I'm good at forcing myself to get upset about the fact that I don't think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've gotten interested in it over the last couple of years.
It's
or
weird.
Something.
I could see myself getting into it. Like, yeah. I get very into things. Yeah. I just, you know, as all people or many people do, I have very weird, complicated emotions around money.
Yes, and common.
Yeah,
common.
Very common, yeah. Which is what's so great about the billfold and what's so great in particular about Megan, because Megan, you just write so honestly and transparently about like your own sort of dealings with money, and it makes it very personal and but also educational.
Relatable.
Yeah.
Megan, you there?
Hi.
The thing that really brought my attention to Megan's writing about finance was an article that Erica shared with me about how do you deal with your finances when you're married, and do you share them or do you keep them separate? And it's one of those funny things that I think I know my parents and I think most parents of our generation just automatically share them. That's just what people did, and that is no longer the case. Yeah. And it is something that, you know, I talk about with my close friends a lot, because everybody does it differently and nobody really knows what to do.
And people have, there are a lot of assumptions around it and all of that too.
And there's no like right answer,
which is hard. Yes. And so how do you think of, you sort of shared this in your article, are you comfortable sharing with our listenership what your philosophy around that is?
Yeah, I guess it's an evolving thing. Yeah. But we share a checking account, and then and we sort of put that, like, I philosophically really wanted to do it, but then it was sort of a hang up mm-hmm. with actually like opening a bank account. We kind of put it off. Mm-hmm. And then when we had a kid 16 months ago, and we were planning to like live off of savings, and we were freelancing. And so we had like to have money, we had to share an account. So like mm-hmm. with our new baby, we were walking down the street going to the bank together because we'd put it off so long.
Because that's what forces you into it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we share a checking account, and then we have separate accounts that we aspire, but we haven't done it lately, to like put, you know, a few hundred dollars in each person's account every 2 weeks so that you have your own money too.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's important, like that, you know, someone's not looking over your shoulder, and, you know, I'm not saying like your partner would judge you for buying whatever, but just why be self-conscious about it? You know, if you want to buy a book or shoes or, yeah.
I think anything that I've ever read about budgeting recommends that people get their own spending money that is not, like, accounted for by anybody else.
I think that is the sort of the philosophy that I've come to, and I think a lot of my friends come to, is that idea that, you know, you have a certain percentage that's for you, and you have a certain percentage in a shared pot, and that way you never have to, you can, you know, spend recklessly in a limited way. Yeah. I remember my aunt once telling me, and I don't even know why, like where it came from, except that she was probably thinking about my compulsive shopping habit. And it was before I had even met my husband. And she just kind of said to me out of nowhere, she was like, if I like give you one piece of marriage advice, it's never lie about what you buy. Like, don't ever get into the habit of covering up your bought,
I like
that. Hiding things in the trunk and stuff like that. And I was like, good advice. I could totally see myself trying to do that because I do have a compulsive shopping habit.
It's such a cliche, I guess, like a gendered thing.
Totally. Yeah. Megan, something that comes up a lot, I think, in writing about personal finances are budgets and mm-hmm. whether or not they're valuable, whether or not you should have them or how you should think about them. What is your take, having been in this world and thought about this stuff?
Oh my God. Well, it's funny. I have like what I actually do and what I think.
I'm interested in both.
And that's like a big gap.
Yeah.
Like right now we're trying to, move into actually, you know, not use savings anymore and like mm-hmm. live off of our income in a more realistic way. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to be realistic about it. So what I've been doing is like, at the end of the month, I look at what we actually spent and, you know, divide it up. Like, what are we spending on food? What are we spending on going out to eat? What are we spending on like random crap from the drugstore that you don't really pay attention to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of use that as a guide and, you know, maybe say, well, we can spend, you know, $100 less a month at restaurants. But, you know, like, cause you'll say, okay, well, we'll go out to eat like, you know, three times a week or however many, you know, whatever's realistic. And, but then you create this like aspirational thing. And if you look at what you've actually been spending, it's like nowhere near that. So at least to have like realism about it.
Right. To base it off your actual history. I think the part of that that is hard for me is not being super judgmental with myself when I do that.
Yeah.
And which I think is a big part of, you know, dealing with personal finance in general, and part of why I really responded well to Susie Orman's book, because she...
Women and Money. Yeah, that's the one you really like. Yeah.
She started, you know, a big part of her getting into that book is just about sort of removing the judgment and being like, listen, you got money problems, everybody's got money problems. Like,
no shame in
no
that.
No shame. Right. Just shame. Move forward and deal with it. Yeah.
I think I used to, when I started to first think about budgeting in a serious way, I think I focused more on the categories of where the money was going than I do now.
Right.
And now I've just created a sort of like amount of money that I allow myself to spend on weekly expenses. And, you know, some of that ends up being, some weeks it's like more food than other weeks. Some weeks it's like more Amazon Prime purchases than other weeks.
And how are you tracking the spending?
So I basically... when my paycheck gets deposited, it gets deposited into one bank account, and that's what I pay my rent out of and utilities out of, and then I transfer my allotted amount of money for my for 2 weeks worth of spending, basically, to my Simple account. I am obsessed with Simple.
That's what I do.
You guys, you use Simple too. I love it.
And you're manually doing the transfer.
I manually do the transfer, which there's probably a way for me to automate it, and I could have my part of my paycheck set to just auto send to my Simple account. But then this gives me the control to like change that amount over time if I want to or whatever. And then I also create within Simple goals. So if I'm saving for, let's just say, a pair of expensive boots, I will say I want to save this money over the course of 6 weeks or 2 months or 2 weeks or whatever. You can set that goal and it will automatically withdraw the money out of your account every single day until you hit that goal. It doesn't remove it. It just sort of puts it out of view.
Out of sight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This truly sounds like a phenomenal product, and you've been talking about it for years.
It is so wonderful, and it allows me to know that that's my spending money, and that's my sort of like pot of money that I can play with in whatever way I want, and they don't really see the rest of it. Like, that, the rest of it can go into savings, if, you know, and the rest of it can go toward rent, and I'm not pulling from the same pot of money.
That's really smart.
And if you want to pull from it, you could, you know, if you needed money from your shoe pile or whatever.
Yes, exactly. You could say, you know what, I'm not going to do that for another month now because I'm going to spend on this instead.
Yeah, and it's like, just makes you more conscious of, you know, it's like so easy to just ignore, you know, when you're using a credit card, like not even notice what you're spending money on. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of.
So, but Simple is not a credit card, right?
Simple is not a credit card. Simple is an online bank.
I mean, a debit card.
Oh, well, no, but I'm actually curious about this because this is like very much my mother's school of thinking is like everything goes on the credit card in part because, you know, it's protected, especially if you're using an American Express, but also you're getting all of this additional value through points and things
like
that.
Well, so when I actually buy the boots, I might put them on an American Express, but then I'll pay them off from my Simple
immediately
account. Yeah, pretty,
that is smart.
Or try to.
See, this is part of the thing is that I know I'm not alone in this, have just such, like, chest clench thinking about all of this stuff. I don't look at it nearly as much as I should. I don't go to the website. And this is my own, like, psychological hang-up that I need to deal with. But you getting in there into those accounts all the time, like, doing the stuff manually, I'm like, oh, I can't.
But it's not, I mean, I think the nice thing for me about Simple is that it's kind of in your face all the time. So I get a pop-up notification on my phone whenever I spend any money.
I really like that a lot. I have that app or the new iPhone and it's Apple Pay.
Oh,
function.
Really?
You can attach as many credit cards as you want to it and you get a pop-up and it's so crazy how even that pop-up, even if I've literally just swiped my card and been handed a receipt, getting the pop-up on my phone reinforces spend in a really specific way.
Real.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's really weird. Megan, what other, so we've talked about like the Apple Pay or I don't even know what that thing is. My phone's just telling me.
Your phone's money
thing. My phone's money thing. Simple. What other sort of personal finance products out there are you a fan of? I know there's like LearnVest and Daily Worth has a Money Clarity product, and are there other ones that you would recommend?
Oh my god, no, I don't know about these things.
That's just our
Learnvest and Daily Worth are both started by women sort of our generation, and they're about teaching women to feel empowered about their money and to make smart investing decisions more.
Yeah,
or less,
yeah,
right?
No, I would say
and
that
to take personal, control of their finances.
Exactly. They're personal finance sites targeted at women, and both of them have sort of paid financial consulting products that are mostly done, I think, over email and stuff like that. I linked in our newsletter this week to a little blurb on Daily Worth that I loved. It was a blog post. It was so smart. This is the kind of financial advice I need. It was like, this is going to take you maybe 5 minutes. Go into your last month's credit card statement. Look at everything you spent. Find one single recurring charge that you don't need and cancel it. And you immediately just saved yourself so much money. And that, for me, I was like, of course, I hate that, realizing that you've been using something, you've been paying for something for a year and you didn't even really realize you weren't using it.
And so, like, the annoyance of canceling it somehow makes it okay if you just keep paying.
Yeah. Like, I'll just pay $14 a month for this instead of going through the 20-minute process of canceling it. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and you're not going to use it next month. So.
In your writing about personal finance, Megan, what sites what sites have you looked to, or what are good resources that you found?
Oh gosh, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I usually am just reading like current, you know, like the Wall Street Journal, or just I like to read just generic sites that mention money. Like when I'm like learning about a financial thing, I'm just mad Googling it late at night, you know, and whatever seems the most reputable is what I read.
Totally.
But I think the idea, like, to me, to get a grip on all this stuff, I had to not think that I had to be an expert in it. I mean, you don't. Mm-hmm. But I think if I start thinking about things too much as like it's this science, I'll just avoid it.
Yeah, completely. What are some things that you've mad Googled that you've been like, I'm interested in this, I want to know more about this, or that you know that your friends talk about or care about?
Well, like my 401k, I left a job, and then I know I need to roll that over into an IRA. I have an IRA.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean to roll your? I have both those things too. I don't know what it means to roll one into the other.
Well, this is my current issue, so when I figure it out, I'll tell you. No, I mean, you fill out a form and you send it to the 401k people.
So why do you need to? It's because you're not contributing anymore?
Well, basically it's sitting in an old employer's account and you can't manage it as much or add to it in any way. So you can kind of like combine them into one 401k or one IRA under one account.
Got it.
Yeah. So it's just kind of stagnant, like this money, I don't know where it is, I need to get it with my other money kind of thing.
Okay.
Put all the money together. Yeah.
Get it all under one roof.
Yeah, that's right.
How did you, so when, you know, you weren't always a financial writer, you worked at Tumblr, you were freelancing for a lot of other blogs.
Mm-hmm.
What made you be like, yes, I can do this personal finance thing, when you are admittedly not a personal finance expert, nor are you like, feel like.
What made you feel like you were interested in that world?
I mean, honestly, it was when I started making enough money to, to have to, you know, not have to, but I was like, you know, when I was a nanny, I was, you know, getting my student loan bills and ignoring them, and I kind of, you know, ran up a credit card bill and left it at the bar. So it was, you know, a lot, there was a lot of shame and avoidance going on because, you know, I just didn't have a lot of money, and I couldn't, you know, I got a medical bill and I couldn't pay it off right away, so it was a lot harder to deal with. I wish I would have dealt with it earlier, but when I got hired at Tumblr, I was like, okay, I'm making like double the money I used to make. I can start paying these things off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started reading the Billfold when that came out. And then I learned about, you know, IRAs and 401ks. And then I started Googling it, and I kept telling myself, you know what, like if people can figure this out, I can too. You know, if some random businessman, this is just like finite knowledge.
It's finite knowledge.
Are there other personal finance writers who you really like?
I really like the writers at the Billfold that are, we call it like overly personal finance.
Yeah.
It's just,
I love
it's
that.
But that's what I think so great.
I love that.
That's what I think is so great and successful about the Billfold, is that a lot of financial writing is completely devoid of emotion, and at the end
and
of the
an
day,
understanding that people are humans.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, personal finances are so tied up in emotions and human characteristics and realities.
And I think when you like deny that, that's why you get like blocked about it, and you don't want to like check your bank statement or anything, you know.
A book that I've read that I think helps to demystify some of this and gets to that finite knowledge thing that you spoke to, Megan, is Get a Financial Life by Beth Kobliner. And she does a good job, I think, of not assuming anything about your finances, not assuming that you don't have debt, not assuming that you do, not assuming that you have money to save, not assuming that you don't. And I think that is an interesting place to be, because also your financial situation changes over the course of your life.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
It's nice to sort of have that rounded information. But one thing that we haven't talked about yet, which I think is worth getting at very briefly, at least, is debt.
Yep.
And how to deal with that. I really like this website called Ready for Zero, that basically you plug in any credit card debt that you have, any student loans that you have, and it tells you how to prioritize and how to pay them off basically as quickly as possible. So it calculates all the interest rates and all that stuff. Because that's that's that hodgepodge of math that becomes really confusing, where you're like, do I pay the biggest one off first or the highest or whatever? It helps you make that happen. Are there other thoughts that you have on debt and dealing with that?
Well, I guess there's also, there's the interest rate, which is, the most blatant thing. But sometimes we've talked about how it's kind of, if you want to pay off the smaller one first, and you can bring, emotions into it, kind of, you know?
It can just make you feel better that you've done it.
Yeah, student loan is going to be really motivating because you could do it in, 6 months or a year or whatever it works for you. You can bring that into it because you need to be encouraged,
yes I think the small wins are important to keep you going for sure. About the flip side, investing? We're obviously a little young to, or a lot of us are not quite at the point where we feel ready to start investing, but there's small things like you can invest in a 401k. That's a form of investment, Erica, you use Acorn.
Yeah, Acorn is awesome. It basically, from my simple card, which I've talked about 7 times so far in this episode, it rounds up every amount you spend. So say I spend $4.57, it rounds up the other 33 cents, keeps track of that, and then deposits the change into this investment account. You choose very few things. You choose basically how risky you want to be with your investment, and it invests them in mutual funds. And it is money that I swear to you, you don't even know you ever had.
Of course not.
It just
goes
missing. It's
change.
Your change jar in a debit card world, basically. It's nice to be able to open it and be like, I did this without even knowing it.
Has it been making any money for you?
Yeah.
That's great.
I can't remember how much money I have. At this point, they're probably a couple hundred dollars in there. It's nothing that would knock anyone's socks off.
Yeah.
But I think it is that small win idea.
Right.
You're like, I did this without even feeling it.
Right.
And you don't have to be making a ton of money to make that move or that decision.
What else, Megan, are you thinking about investing in anything? Do you invest in anything?
I have an index fund.
Okay.
Yeah. I would count my IRAs in that, which is, more or less similar to an index fund where it's a mutual fund that, you just, I guess the biggest thing for me would be to say that you can do this all on the internet. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be this huge thing. And they walk you through it. Mine is through Vanguard.
Yeah.
And you just kind of get a login and you take a quiz and you deposit your money and then now you've invested.
Right.
And I think the general philosophy with most of this stuff is that it's very less is more. You shouldn't be, that most people do not need to be thinking about individual stocks and should not be day trading and should basically find a couple of funds that they feel comfortable with and good about.
How do you find those? How did you decide on Vanguard, Megan?
I knew there were 3 or 4 main things that people tend to recommend, I read an article on the Billfold and I was like, okay, this Vanguard is one of the 3 and I'll just use it. I don't think anybody should get like too hung up on that, I guess.
Yeah. Just, and Susie Orman also has a list of recommendations on her sites, I think, of reliable funds.
That's right.
People,
she does.
And they, people tend to also recommend funds that don't have managers because there is no correlation between managed funds performance versus unmanaged funds. And if you have a managed fund, you're paying a fee for the management. Exactly. So I think Warren Buffett had some quote about how he's investing all of his money or all of his, all the money when he dies will be put into unmanaged funds, which is from a person who manages funds.
Right.
That's what my index fund is. It's just, indexes the stock market. I'm like going to come up against my own lack of knowledge, but you know, the idea was I kept putting it off. Like I sold some stock options from working at Tumblr and they were just sitting in a checking account, earning nothing for like a year. And when I saw that the stock market had grown like 33% year over year that year, so I could have made so much money just if I hadn't procrastinated, I was like, rather than learn everything I can learn, I'm just going to take action with this, like get the minimum amount of knowledge and like trust these robots, I guess.
Trust the robots. They know.
This is so helpful for me. I like the overall theme here of small wins. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
I feel like this is the approach that I can take.
And these, I feel like all of these things can be tackled. Like each of these individual things can be done in like an hour. You know, it's not like
maybe we're looking at Claire's 2016 New Year's resolution or 2017. I don't know. It depends on how much I have to wrap my head around. But I think this feels totally doable to me.
Hey, Megan, thanks so much for talking about all of this. I feel like I'm less overwhelmed by all of it.
And
other people listening might be too.
This was an awesome, awesome episode. Maybe you can come back another time and update us on the latest in personal finance.
I would love to.
You guys have been listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. Today we talked about healthy snacks and personal finances, classic combination. And you should sign up for our newsletter at ofakind.com. You should also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Give us some feedback. Maybe say nice things. If you have any ideas, email us at afewthings@ofakind.com. And tune in next week, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Subscribe on iTunes.
Do it.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.